The 2008 Paralympics in Beijing is winding down this week, and although the mainstream media didn't cover them nearly as closely as the Olympics in August, Americans are walking away with many golden moments.
4 seconds left. Chen with the final chance delivers the ball into the middle, and the USA take the gold.
That's the U.S. women winning the gold in goal ball. It was a tight game, but they pulled it off 6-5, and Jen Armbruster is one of those players. Congratulations, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And it was a very exciting game, it sounds like. 6-5, there was a lot of back and forth. Describe what it was like.
Our coach said it best, probably. It was like two boxers in the ring. We traded punch after punch after punch with them. And we were up by one, we're tied, we're up by one, tied, they're up by one. So we just, you know, last one standing. And we were fortunate at the end. Our defense held, and we were able to hold them off.
That's very funny. You said your coach, as in your dad, Ken Armbruster, who's also on the line with us. Hi there, Ken. Congratulations to you.
Good evening, or good morning, I guess, back in the States.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Explain to us how, for those who are not familiar with goal ball, explain how it works exactly.
Go ahead, Jen.
Okay. Basically, it's the same dimensions as a volleyball court. It's a 9 by 18 meters. Our goal goes the whole length of the back line. So it's 9 meters. Everybody plays blindfolded. And our orientation lines, where we regularly see painted lines on a court, we have thin string underneath to know where we're at. 3-on-3 game. If anybody played dodgeball as a kid, it's the reverse of that. So that, you know, getting out of the way, we throw ourselves on the floor about 80 times a game. And if we're successful, we're blocking the ball that many times. Just like a soccer goalie, you dive and so you hit the ground and get smacked around a little bit.
But to deal with the visual impairment on the court, the ball actually has to make a sound. And as exciting as the game is, and when I watch goal ball, I notice this, if people are screaming in the bleachers, it's a real problem.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. I mean, it's hard as a fan, actually, because you can't respond until whistles are blown and there's a goal scored. And when you're going in the home country and you got 6,000 Chinese fans, the refs had to do a good job of trying to control that a little bit. There's some oohs and ahs and some things and just that concentration. But, the crowd has to be quiet during the actual play, and then they can erupt after the goals and stuff are scored or timeouts or anytime there's a break in play.
How do you learn to hear where the ball is?
I think it's just like any kind of hand-eye coordination sport growing up before I lost my vision. It's just the training of a hand-ear sport and really concentrating on listening and putting your body in front of the ball that way rather than, you know, tracking visually and putting your hand on a ball that way.
Ken, what was the strategy here, do you think, that put you just that one goal ahead of the Chinese?
We had a throw-in plan before the game. We played the Chinese a couple of times this year. We actually defeated them in an overtime over in Sweden back in April, and we played them in the prelims and they shut us out 4-0. It was a long, we played 8 days in a row, and I believe they were a little bit tighter than we were. We had been able to make some substitutions earlier in the tournament where he basically went with the same three players all the way through.
Uh-huh.
And I was pretty sure, if we hit the spots, they have a very good defense. I think you had the audio of Bill Thiel on there earlier, and he called them the Great Wall of China. They played that good a defense. And Asia Miller, as she scored all 6 points, she was snoring hard. And, it was probably one of the best games I've ever seen an individual put on a performance
wow.
on a women's goal ball point.
Let's talk about ball control for a moment. I mean, when you launch that ball from one side of the court to the other, does it help if you have spin on it? Can you keep it from going straight without having it go across one of the penalty barriers?
Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's just like being a pitcher in baseball. We can throw curves, reverse curves. Asia's ball reacted to this particular kind of floor real well. It's a different floor than we play in the States. We used to play on wood surfaces. This is a Terraflex floor, a little bit more bounce to it, and her ball was skipping well and probably actually picking up speed. And we're busting around 38, 40 miles an hour anyways, and I'd imagine with that floor, it was probably closer to 43, 45. It really picked up speed well. Her ball was beautiful on that floor.
Jen, I need you to pipe down right now because I'm going to ask your dad, Ken, what's Jen need to work on as far as like ball control and the spin and what she need to work on here?
She has Jen's probably one of the most accurate throwers there is in the world. Yeah, she's she got a great curve, and actually she talked about the floor. She has such a smooth delivery in the States on the wood floor, but over here it took something off her throw because the Terraflex was biting to it, and so it had more of a grip. But this is Jen's fifth Paralympics, so, and I've coached her for 16, 17 years now. I don't think there's much more I can tell her. She's a pretty good player.
And she's got the gold now, so she's not
exactly.
listening to anybody. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, especially, exactly, yeah. Dad. What can you tell her now? She's got the gold.
It comes down, ever since we've got here, we've been around the world a lot of times playing. And actually, there were a lot of tears when we played Germany the other night because one of their players that's been around for a long time is retiring. And we've had the Spanish coaches came up and give Jen gifts and throw that whole thing in case we don't see you again, because there's question about whether this is going to be the end for us or not. But we said after Athens we probably weren't going to do this again, but here we are 4 years later. So we'll see what the next couple days say.
It's quite an amazing community over there. We've been asking everybody in the Paralympics who we've talked to on the show here what their favorite moment watching or being in the stands and witnessing was. Jen, what was your favorite sport to witness?
Like you said, we played for the first 8 days of competition, so we haven't really got to see. We've got to watch a lot on television, and I worked on the Lakeshore Foundation as well, so it's been actually I've caught the basketball teams and rugby's final tonight, and it's just been great really to watch some of my other athletes that I see all, on a regular basis training down the Lakeshore. A couple of my sports camp kids, I ran into the long jumper that I took to a sports camp when he was 15, got a silver medal, and just to watch really actually some of the sports camp kids come and succeed. One of our swimmers got a gold medal, so I think that's actually a bigger achievement for me is to watch some of these kids that we work with at camps and various sports come up and watch their dreams come true as well.
Is a great story, guys. Good luck.
We couldn't have wrapped it up better. Congratulations again to both of you, and thanks so much for hanging in there and coming on to the Takeaway with us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
It's Jen Armbruster, captain of the U.S. women's goal ball team and Olympic gold medalist, and her dad, Ken Armbruster, who is the coach of the U.S. women's goal ball team.
Say it fast. Goal ball, gold medal. Goal ball, gold medal.
I know. Lots of gold. Ways. Gold ball,
that's
gold.
Right. Gold ball, gold. Right, right. Lots of ways to catch up with us at the Takeaway. You can find us on Twitter, Friend Feed, and Facebook. Here's your Takeaway.
We've kind of lost our groove as a country.
Speak for yourself. That was author and columnist Thomas Friedman with his unique assessment on our problems here at home.
And what does market turmoil mean to you?
This is Leslie from Rockaway. With regards to the economy and affecting our family, we're concerned about Christmas. We didn't have a vacation. We barely bought the kids any school clothes back to school. We're now concerned about the holidays and what that's going to bring with everything else. My husband's job is on the line.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Some tough, really tough times for people. We want to hear what your thoughts are on the economy. How are you coping? What are you concerned about? 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.